Welcome to the Shelter Footycast. Will Schofield, Mark Reddings, taking you through all the big stuff in the AFL of the week gone by and coming up ahead. Skeeter, we've got a Patreon now, mate. Are you excited?
I've never heard the term Patreon, but I'm on board with you, Scoey. If you take me to the promised land, I'm there.
VIP content, discounts, and much more. Backchatstudios.com.au to sign up as a VIP.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yes, that's right. We are underway. Jetstar flight 746 leaving the Avalon Airport, flying to Busselton. What am I talking about, Skeeter? Welcome, Shelter Footycast, live from Backchat Studios. Will Schofield, Mark Reddings. Why are we on the Jetstar flight this morning, Skeeter?
Because every time I come to sit in this Shelter Footycast, there's some frigging delay of some description. It's a camera. It's Nick unable to turn the power cord on or press go or whatever it is, the green. But anyway, we finally got here. Nice to be here. Look, it's a bit rushed life at the moment. I've got to say this, a quick revelation to our listeners. I've always envisaged you as a bacon and egg burger man for breakfast. But no, we don't go the bacon and egg burger. He's got a real female vibe about this. I'm just trying to just tip it up.
What's wrong with having a female vibe?
The avocado on toast, which just no.
Put it up a bit.
Okay, well, there you go.
don't spill it.
Anyway, that's just Scully, who has got the vibes of being the bacon and egg man, but he's got the avos tucked away ready to go.
Yeah.
Nice work. And what are you sucking on, by the way?
Lots of things. People have told me I've sucked on a lot of things over the years. I'll spit it out. Right. Okay. Are we good?
We're right to go.
Okay, here we go. We've got a few things going on, Skeeter. Shelter Footycast on social media. You can find all of this stuff there. Now, Backchat Ale launching. Ticket selling very fast. I would say there's about 25% left of tickets.
When's that on?
That is Thursday the 18th of April. Next Thursday, Derby preview, Backchat Ale launch. We've got fresh ones. There's some behind you up there. We've got the freshies in, the Backchat Ales. Josh Kennedy, Matt Pavlich will be joining us.
That's Derby royalty, really, isn't it?
I would say the best. Yep. Top two. Most goals kicked for either side. I did have a think about it. It's the irony is we've launched a Backchat Ale brew for Backman. You probably need to polish off 4 to 8 of these beers after playing on either of these blokes as a Backman, right? They're just superstars in their own right. They'll be there having a chat. We'll be on the stage talking a bit of jargon. So if you want to come down there, grab your tickets. $20 will get you a beer as well on entry. Now, Skeeter, you've got to do some thinking on today's show, which I know is a little bit out of kilter for you. Round 7.
Yes.
Gold Coast v West Coast.
Yeah.
That's a good trip.
It's a great show. I've got family in the Gold Coast. I'm tempted to slide in with the Tassa team and just jump on board.
So our good friends at Travel and Sports Australia, we've got another giveaway. 2 flights, return airfares, 2 tickets to the game to the Gold Coast. Round 7, 3 weeks' time. We play Richmond, West Coast Richmond, Derby, Gold Coast. So on today's show, you're giving away the code word, Skeeter.
Okay.
So
I've got one perfectly set up. Just a very favourite spot of mine on the Goldie.
Okay, very good. So if you want to get your tickets on the plane with the players there and back, I think a sneaky chance to beat the Gold Coast Suns. I don't know why I'm feeling that. I don't think they're going to beat Richmond this week. I don't know why I'm thinking that either. But I think you could be going to the Gold Coast, a great place, we might
love
say.
It. I've got a soft spot for it, as I said. And even in winter, or that might be winter when you go, it's going to be the weather up there, by and large, just beautiful. And the beach is close. It's a great spot.
So good friends at Travel and Sports Australia have put this on the line for you. You want to jump in, you're going to need the code word from today's episode. And you can enter it at backchatstudios.com.au. There's a pop-up there. If you can't find your way there, you can jump on the link in our bio, Shelter Footycast. Just listen to the code word, enter it for your chance to go into the running to win the 2 flights, 2 tickets to the Gold Coast. Will Schofield, Mark Reddings, Shelter Footycast. Right, Skeet. A little bit going on this week. I think this one leads all headlines. Jeremy Finlayson last night suspended for 3 weeks on the back of his homophobic comments to an Essendon player. With this one specifically, this hasn't been sort of swept under the rug with what's gone on. I think it's quite clear what's happened. So I'll run you through the chain of events. In one of the first quarters, first or second quarter, he's made this comment to an Essendon player. I think immediately during that quarter, he's gone to the player and apologised. He's then spoken to his team manager effectively at one of the breaks and said, this is what's happened. And he's then, after the fact, they've contacted the AFL, and then it's gone into this process. And throughout the time, he's done an apology and all of that. Essendon have been quite strong, by the sounds of things, as a footy club and as a playing group, that he should be copping punished. The full whack. Mm-hmm. And he has 3 weeks. How have you seen it?
Well, there's a number of issues here. And I was just thinking as you were speaking then about if the player concerned, if it was you saying it to me, not that, and obviously we know each other well, but if you'd said that to me on field, and then you came to apologise to me 20 minutes later, and, you know, I'm heterosexual, I just thought it was I'd probably say, no worries, let's forget about it. But obviously this is something that Essendon's thought about it and the player concerned. We don't know that. It hasn't been revealed. So, look, it's gone down that path, and that's, even if the umpire hears it, that's now, it's on the record and it's going to be reported more likely than not. So I'm just confused about where we sit with what's happened previously and what's going to happen in the future. I think everyone agrees it's probably that's what's the standard now. A penalty of a suspension is most likely for
players.
I don't
think there's too many people saying this is overs. I think there's a lot of people saying the Alistair Clarkson
was unders
4 weeks ago was well unders. Mm. A fine, a suspended 2-game sentence for seemingly... I think this sits in the... My views on this... If you say something racist, it's racist. It doesn't matter if it's a little bit racist or it's a lot racist. And it's the same. We're taking the same stance here, aren't we? So whatever the word was or the sentence was or what the slur was, it's either homophobic or it wasn't.
Yeah.
And so I don't see how you can have, you know, a $20,000 fine and 2 games suspended and then 3 games. It's either 3 games or it's not. It's like shirt fronting someone, isn't it? And that's what I get frustrated with the tribunal, to be honest. Like, it's the same thing for me. If you hit someone high and one bloke's getting 1 week, someone getting off, that's what pisses everyone off.
If I'm going to speak old school, I would suggest what Jeremy Finlayson said to the Essendon player was directly and obviously homophobic. What Clarkson said, reportedly, to me, and this, again, I'm happy to be, I've never associated that with being a gay slur, if you know what I mean, because I've been called it, you've probably been called it in jest and seriously. But I haven't. So, but I totally, and again, it's education for myself and maybe yourself as well about what is acceptable. And we know that there is associated with this penalty. There's a, he has to go and pay for some training in terms of pride sport and et cetera. So Finlayson, I think, has done everything he could have to mitigate and possibly give himself the best opportunity of not being heavily suspended. Because if he hadn't apologised so quickly and been so remorseful, the AFL said yesterday, he would have copped a greater whack.
It's one of the first times I've seen the AFLPA come out so strongly when a punishment's been handed down to a player. We don't see it often. If you think about it, whether it's tribunal, whether it's disciplinary, whether it's drug-related, all that stuff, AFLPA will support the player, but they won't come out on the offensive. I'm not sure if you saw their statement last night.
Well, they have. They're trying to compare Clarkson, essentially. Clarkson and Finlayson.
Paul Marsh has come out directly having a go at the AFL and saying the double standards the AFL is holding isn't good enough, which I would be in that party.
Well, you only have to look at, and this is separate to what the AFLPA said, but again, you're talking about comparing the pair. I still don't quite understand moving forward. If the racial slur of Taylor Walker gets 6 weeks, and that's
yes,
happened a while ago now, Clarkson, for what he said, gets a $20,000 fine and a 2-week suspended sentence, and Finlayson gets 3 weeks. The next time someone says something, and it will happen, because we just know it'll happen, is 3 weeks the standard? Is that what we're looking at? I think there's some confusion as to what the penalty is. Compared to, say, the NRL earlier this year, a guy called Spencer Lenu, he called an opponent in rugby league a monkey. Mm-hmm. Racial vilification. 8 weeks in Las Vegas. Done, dusted. That's, to me, a really strong message. Is that overs? Is that about right? I think we're still finding our way in the AFL.
To sum this up, Skeet, and we've had this a few times over our time together, two white males, non-minorities,
yeah, I'll get it,
talking about this stuff. Like, you and I are both that. You couldn't call you or me anything real. I don't think you could say much to me that would offend me deeply, to be frank.
I think if you...
Yeah, but family.
Family, yeah, that sort of stuff is where you get really... But I agree.
It's difficult to understand where other people come from. So that's what actually causes the difficulty, because you've got people like you and I who don't understand, right? There's no way we really understand.
We never walked in the shoes of someone who's either... finding their sexuality, been through racial issues their whole life. So, no, we speak out of a lot of ignorance and hopefully some education along the way, but it's certainly not territory that we are experts in.
The AFL want this stamped out, so they've said that 3 weeks this time happens again, it'll be double that. It sounds like they're going to go up and up and they want it out of the game, which I think is fair enough. Let's get back into some footy issues, Skeeter. 4-year deal for Errol Goulden. Said a club over East had offered him 10 years.
10 years. I think that's Buddy Franklin territory. That's Alistair Lynch territory. He's a gun. 10 years. Is that?
He could have quite possibly won the Brownlow medal, and he's kicking, he's running. But he's a midfielder as well. Not a dime a dozen, but he's not a big-bodied mid like a Bontempelli where, you know, he's head and shoulders above people. He's a stocky, hard-running guy, and... You know, you can say what you like about Andrew Gaff now, but Andrew Gaff in his prime, hard running, plays on a wing, left footer, chiseling kick. Errol's probably a bit better of a kick than Gaffy ever was, but that sort of player. I just wonder, you know, made me think about contracts. I do think contracts. I spoke to a manager over in Gather Round who was speaking about one of his players, actually over here in the West. And he was offered a decent contract by a club over East, and he didn't take it. And and I said, "Does it mean anything that he's gone and signed on here for longer?" And he's like, "Not really. He can probably do that deal next year, or the year after that. Like the deals don't mean anything, and that's directly from a manager.
Well, contracts don't. So, we've seen that.
So Errol signed for 4." But if someone came next week and said he's 15, he could probably sign it next year and say to Sydney, "I want to get traded," and then they'd have to do a deal.
Yeah, so I mean, yeah. Look, I appreciate all these when the contracts are announced and everyone sits at a table and you know, we're keeping Will Schofield on a 3-year contract extension. Bottom line is it doesn't mean nothing, but it certainly isn't binding as a lot of contracts are in business.
What we're talking about business? What contract do you want here? You're on a 10-year deal? We got your 10-year deal on the show.
I'm on a very limited... and given that now the numbers, I think, are going quite well here at Shelter, so I might just have to look at a 5% pay rise from very little to just a little.
That's very good, Skeeter. All right, let's get into the game, Skeet. There's some good ones coming up. Let's stick with the West Coast and the Fremantle Dockers first up. Port Adelaide, Fremantle. Big test. They've stayed over in Adelaide, which I think is a good thing. You don't want to have to travel back and forward to Adelaide. I think being in Adelaide for the week's been good for them. After a disappointing loss against Carlton, it's going to be really interesting to see how this club bounces back after a competitive effort against a good side at their home ground.
Yeah, they had their trivia night last night in Adelaide. I can tell you that information.
Did you host it?
I didn't remotely know about that.
The sort of areas I'd expect you to be.
That's a knock on my MC. You think that trivia night's where I'm sitting in life?
You tell me if Freo said, here's the price, we want you to host this from Perth, and the price was right, Larry Emda, I reckon you're coming on down, Murray.
Don't worry, Scully. I think we're all...
It wasn't meant to be a... have I discriminated against you? Have I offended you?
You offended my sensibilities and sensitivities. Anyway, it was trivia night. And if I'd hosted it, I would have told... No, Luke Ryan told me about that when I interviewed him last night. So that would have been a meeting of the minds with him and Luke Jackson and all the... they were on the same team.
So Luke would have won.
And you can imagine just in that little... little groupings there. Imagine if Alex Pierce is quite an articulate, Nat Fife got together. Apparently, Sam Sukowski.
They'd still be coming up with answers now.
The smarties, yeah. And then you've got the buffheads and Lukey Ryan's in there. Brendan Cox, although he's probably not there, and Lukey Jackson, who's he's probably like you and me.
Yeah, correct. That's very good, Skate. Now, Michael Frederick, he's listed on the injury report at Fremantle for 1 week. He has done his hamstring.
This is your bugbear.
This is me this year, right? He's done his hammy. I'll see you in 3 weeks, which is fine.
Just say it.
Why don't we just say it? Oh, he's giving me a test. He'll be a test the next 2 weeks. You watch.
There's another couple of players at the Eagles at a test, but we'll get to that when we get to it.
So, Frederick out. He's a big loss. He's a good player.
Yep.
Big in could potentially be, because he flew over last week, Sean Darcy. What happened?
He trained yesterday.
So what happens here? He plays in the ruck and Jackson forward.
Well, if he's fit to play, of course he does. Yeah. And for what it's worth, this will be the break of the string of matches going back 20 years. Remember, I think I mentioned last week, first time in 20 years since round 18 to round 21 of 2003 or 4, that had unchanged sides, which is, a sign of really good stability,
right,
given the injuries you just mentioned. That's having to change here. But Frederick out, Darcy in. Switkowski, I don't think will play, although Luke Ron said he's
calf test.
Calf is,
I don't know if you're testing to calf out on a senior player.
Yeah, I don't think he'll play.
They are different to hammies, though, I will say that. They can come good calves. Hammies cannot. Just so we know, 3 weeks is a hamstring.
Yeah.
Calf can be a bit niggly.
Well, if you do a calf properly, it's a lot longer.
But I saw him testing out. He hasn't done it properly. Yeah. So it can be tight and be okay.
Yes.
But he may not play. So that's a couple of big losses in their front half.
Absolutely. And you've got to look at what Port Adelaide's. Finlayson does drop out for obvious reasons on that front.
Mm-hmm.
But their midfield, Ollie Wines, Butters,
he's back after a hamstring injury. Three weeks he's back.
Yes. Yep. And Jason on Francis. It's going to be a really good battle. And I think you're right. I think this is a real test of as much of anything. If Fremantle can put in the type of effort and performance they did against Carlton, they'll be in this game up to their eyeballs.
Just on the debate with Sean Darcy, is he going to play a ruck? What are we going to do with Jackson? Jackson's been unbelievable in the ruck, right? And we know that. But they will be a better side. Jackson may not be a better player as a forward, but they will be a better side with Sean Darcy in the ruck.
Yep.
So decisions are made within football clubs to win, not for Luke Jackson to win the Brownlow. And Luke Jackson doesn't want to win the Brownlow. If he gets, hey, you want to win a flag, you want to win the Brownlow, you can win a flag as a forward or you can win a Brownlow as a ruckman. What's he going to choose? He's going to choose being a forward and playing in a good side. Sean Darcy's a good ruckman. So you play him in the ruck. Luke Jackson, who's trained all pre-season as a forward, you play him as a forward. And I think they go forward. It's the same debate with Andy Brayshaw with Fife coming back into that midfield. Andy Brayshaw stepped outside a little bit more, but we're starting to see him get into the game. He had a huge game last week. They make decisions on best team balance, not best Andrew Brayshaw's game, not best Luke Jackson game. So I'm looking forward to seeing Swaggy back in the ruck for Freo. I think a question on this game is who plays on Connor Rosie. You have to give this man attention. I'm sorry. You can't have him running amok, kicking three and having 30 from the midfield. You lose. You may as well just... this chat from coaches, and you hear it all the time. You see it almost every week. Oh, we're going to play our way. We're going to take him on our way. That's all good and well until you got Connor Rosie, who's just an absolute fucking gun. You can't let him run around doing what he likes. They have to put some attention into him, surely.
So that being said, I ask this to Mark Stein.
Hayden Young
plays a nullifying role as opposed
absolutely.
To...
Yeah. Absolutely. He did it all the back end of last year. Hayden Young goes to Rosie at stoppage and the immediate aftermath, right? I don't mean like running around tagging him like a...
Ryan Crowley used to.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, have some defensive nature about you. He's a backman, Hayden Young. Just remember, he's a backman. Right.
So he has got defensive.
Correct. And he's done this. He's done that. That's how he was getting all his touches at the back end of last year. I almost guarantee he plays on him. And I'd like to see it. I think he's got the attributes to
it. Yeah, we'll keep an eye on that. I think given the restructure, if Darcy plays Jackson Ford, Tabana probably misses out. Speaking to even Lee Spruill on the weekend, he said, look, he cops a lot of flak, Tabs, and it's all about what you produce on game day. He said he's been told by his doctors reportedly that his back is it's a debilitating sort of back that he's got, and it's amazing that he's actually even running, let alone playing footy. So, but I still think off the back of that, obviously, if all the pieces fall into place, Tabs might be the player that misses.
Who wins?
Is it? Yeah. Look, they played the Adelaide Oval really well, Fremantle. They do. I mean, the Carlton game, we looked against Adelaide, they've been really competitive previously. I'm picking Port just purely because of what... the Rosie factor and whether they can shut him down. I just think they've got a few more scoring options.
I'm picking Freo. Chips in. I reckon it's Wharfy time, Skeeter, and it is time to pick Fremantle to beat a big team away from home. Darcy comes back in, plays limited minutes, right? He might play 60 minutes. Plays 60, so you still get Jackson in the ruck for half the game. I think they take the midfield on and they win. So there you go, Skate.
Okay.
That's probably my roughie of the week. West Coast, and we'll probably lose. West Coast v Richmond. Sunday afternoon. This is the one Eagles fans have been waiting for.
Well, they only started waiting for it after Saturday's game, because prior to that, they thought this is going to be a shit show. But now you got people saying, oh, can they win? And Mick Collins texting me saying, who should I tip in? I said, mate, I think, you know, anyway, without giving it away, let's be honest, Richmond's form is still far more compelling than what I've seen. It's, what we've seen from the Eagles.
The brand's been more consistent, but as we said on Monday, if that gets rolled out, what happened against Sydney last week, they will be competitive and they may win this game. But we haven't seen the consistency.
No.
We've seen some good games from West Coast over the last two years, haven't we?
See
that Bulldogs game last year. It was great, but then the next week they go and lose by 100 points. So you need to see them back up, and that's a huge question mark on this group. You got senior players who know how to play consistent footy that haven't been doing it, and that means the younger players haven't been doing it either. So, look, a big matchup in this one. Tommy Brass, I reckon TB would have been given a nice little slap across the wrist for his carry on and his honesty in the media. I love it personally. I think he was asked questions and he was honest about him, but I reckon he put Harley back on the back page of the paper by saying he was going to take Dusty on.
Again.
Because, I mean, this is who Harley Reid's been
likened to.
Yeah, for his entire junior career. And this is the matchup. Dusty played full midfield minutes last week. I think they go head-to-head. And Simo will do that for a little bit at least. Yeah, Elliot Yeo's the other obvious matchup on Dusty Martin.
And Dusty, don't know him at all, but you can imagine him, if he does get the young bloke stand next to him, that will actually, I think, spike a bit of the ego.
I think as well. I was trying to think, what will Dusty do in return? Will he respect the fact that this is a kid, similar situation that he was, high draft pick, a lot of pressure, or will he go, you know what?
It's showtime.
Here's my foot, there's your throat, let me put it on it.
Do you want to pay cash or credit, in the words of Stevie J? Not to say that Harley's a spectator by any means, but
do you want to pay cash or credit?
You like that?
It's an
oldie goodie from Stevie J.
You've stolen it, obviously.
Well, nothing's new.
I've never heard
nothing's
of it.
Original. Okay, well, I'll roll it out again. The back line of the Tigers, that's again what they do through Vlosten and Coda to transition from defence and obviously to attack. Shea Bolton, you talk about player wild. He loves Optus Stadium. He plays so well here. You know, I've got a soft spot.
We've seen him play a lot of good games here, haven't we?
Yeah, and he could well do it again. He said friends and family come along, so he's just one of those players that could be really instrumental for him. Richmond were okay for certainly a half against St Kilda. They dominated. But I think they've still got a bottom six look about them, in my eyes.
So do I. I think Brady Hoff might go to Shea Bolton when he's forward, which is a big, mate, big ass. I don't know if you've seen. Have you? Brady Hoff's a big boy. On some of these guys, like a Shea Bolton, like a Charlie Cameron, I do think that sort of size player works well on them, as long as you have the agility to go with them. If you don't, you can't just play, I don't know, and no disrespect to Alex Pierce. You can't play a Alex Pierce on him, a big, lumbering key back, but someone with some size and some speed to go with it, I think, goes well. So I think Hoffie will get him. He's had some big challenges this week, and it'll be interesting to see what happens there in terms of changes. Ryan Marrick apparently is a test. I asked if he was alive. Someone said he's a test of player. I thought he was dead.
So the report, we saw him whisked off to hospital. I was watching the recording of the game. So he's gone to hospital with suspected broken ribs and a punctured lung. Suspected. Now, I'm assuming that, although Stephen May played pretty quickly after broken ribs, but broken ribs, punctured lung, he clearly can't have both of those. Otherwise, you just say, look, he's gone for at least a week.
Maybe, he's not, you know, Josh Kennedy. He's not Matt Pavlich, and it's not prelim final week.
100%.
Maybe give the kid a week to heal his broken ribs.
But
maybe.
Luke Edwards, who we saw with the ice and the on the back of the leg with the hamstring, listed as a test.
He's done his hammy. If I see Luke Edwards running around out there, naked laps are coming, I'm telling you.
Oh, I agree. I'm with you on this. And why not just, well, this Simo's probably genuinely got the information back from the doctor. It's not as serious as first thought, so he's not ruled out yet. That it has to be something like that. But he's not playing,
is he?
No,
he's not playing.
If he's named this afternoon, you're going to
look like... This is ice and a cramp, which I've never seen before in my life.
We look absolute dicks, aren't we?
Yeah, correct. Talking about dicks, Skeet will be doing naked laps. Clay Hall's a chance to debut. He's been playing in the waffle. I think, you know, they're really keen to get him into the side. I wonder if he gets in there. Dom Sheed Andrew Gaff and Alex Witherden are probably the others that could come in for the West Coast Eagles. Who are you picking?
Yeah, and look, I think on the back of that, Cully and Sheed will continue playing in the waffle for a bit longer.
Definitely
have one game back. Picking Richmond, I know there's a bit of, and I hope they go okay. It's going to be a good day at Optus because they've got the 1987 Eagles team which played Richmond in the first ever game, so they're getting the boys back. I think 29 of the group, which is a really good number, are getting back, including the coach Ron Alexander, Ross Glendening, the inaugural captain. 1987, I'm not sure how old you were then, but I was at the...
Negative two.
Yeah, okay, thank you. I was at the ground. I was in at going to Trinity College. We were out in the middle, actually, as part of the pre-game, as Trinity College, and we had the Eaglets, or the Eaglets at the time. So, you know, you can imagine 17-year-old boys. We were just as interested in the movements of the Eaglets as we were the as the blokes playing footy. So it was that was memorable. And
who are these blokes?
keep the Eaglets going. It's like being out the... Yeah, we used to go to the grave to watch the raunchies. They used to they'll have the... Anyway, that was...
Dig up.
No photos from back then, Scully. But anyway, 87, I digress. 87 was a very good day. They trailed by 33 points at three-quarter time, and they beat the Tigers. I think Wally Matera kicked four goals. Barra got a broken cheekbone. What else? Laurie Keane, I think, kicked their first ever goal. And Ross Glendening, he looked magnificent. He was a beautiful player. Anyway, they're back together. They're going to be on the gas. Mark Zanotti and Alex Ashenko are the equivalent of the Collingwood Rat Pack, with Dane Swan and your mate Sharon Willingham.
Good. I like it.
They'll be on the gas on Sunday on shelters.
Very good. Love it a lot. As we get Skeeter back from a better place at the Raunchies, let's get into it.
Who are you picking?
I told you the Richmond footy club. Okay. Yeah, I am picking Richmond as well, but I'm hoping West Coast are more competitive, and I think everyone would be. Let's whip through these, Skeeter. Remember, we've got to get that. We'll give the Gold Coast code word a little bit later on.
I've got it. One, just one word or two?
You can do what you like. Okay. Melbourne v Brisbane, that is tonight. Colton Tholstrup to debut. You would have seen a little bit. Sorry, have I stuffed that up?
Oh, no. Well, his dad came up to me. No, most people say okay. Tholstrup, but he told me, his dad, that it's Tholstrup. Now, it must be.
He would
European.
Be right.
I would have thought so. Yeah, but Tholstrup. Yeah, just some audio floating around of his mum and dad being told by Colton. And I don't know if you've seen him. I assume you have. He's got the big curly hair.
Yeah,
he wears the flashy sunglasses. So he looks like a carrot, and he is.
How does he play?
Good. No, he's exactly. This is a really good timing for him because he picked it out because of suspension. He'll, I think, play more forward.
Yeah, so is he? What is he? A small,
decent size. Yeah. I think he's 86 kilos, and he's probably 6'2", 6'3", around that sort of mark. But so excited for him taking a pick 13, obviously through Subiaco, originally through Esperance, so he gets his chance tonight.
Beautiful.
At the G, which is great news for the young man.
Melbourne Brisbane MCG. I mean, Thursday night. That's a good game to debut in. This is going to be a big one, isn't it? It's a big test. Brisbane at 1-3, Melbourne at 4-1.
Lockie Neil, 250th game. And there's some talk, strong word, that Clayton Oliver might not line up tonight.
Yeah, seeing that. So that would be a big loss to Melbourne. I mean, Brisbane's got a brutal run. They've had a brutal run, and they've got a brutal run.
Geelong next, I think.
Yeah, Geelong, and then there's another couple coming that I think they're just going to be under the pump. So they need that. This is a must-win. This is a must-win game for Brisbane. It will be for the next few weeks.
Yeah, and Melbourne's form in Adelaide, they must just come back with a whole lot of confidence off the back of that. But yeah, Brisbane dangerous tonight. The MCG, it's very hard to tip Brisbane at the G. I mean, just on the basis of their record, they have certainly got better and better in recent years. The grand final beaten by a kick. They've won. I just looked at a match on the replay this morning. Was it last year they were led by four goals with 7 minutes to go and got rolled by Melbourne?
So that
sort of stuff, you go, how does a team not shut that type of match down?
But that's not the MCG, right? Rocking up the MCG, getting done by eight goals, that's an MCG factor. If you're leading a side...
Like Hawthorn last year. I think it was Hawthorn last couple of years.
So they can play there. I think we've established they can play there now. Last year, we were riding them very hard. They can't play away from the Gabba. I think they can. They've got their own issues. Ball movement, the way they're defending, the way they're putting pressure on around the footy. So they're going to have to be right on top of their game to be in this game. Brisbane, by the way, have Geelong, GWS, Gold Coast, and then Adelaide away. So I know Adelaide probably fallen off the perch a little bit, but that's their next three, GWS, Gold Coast, and Geelong. So,
I trust Melbourne.
Pickett's out. He's been suspended. Got 1 week for that hit last week. Who are we picking?
I trust Melbourne a little bit more. I just go on what form I've seen as opposed to what Brisbane can do. I've seen Melbourne do it, so I think their defence will be good enough to keep. I mean, I've got to say, they can be good and they can also be frustrating. The same guys, Joey, Eric Hipwood, Charlie at times. Look, they've got so much talent, but just we struggle at times to see the best of that trio.
Line in the sand game for me, Brisbane win it at the MCG. They lose this, they probably can't win in top four and they probably can't win the flag. So they will know that and they will win this game against Melbourne Skate. And I say that one with confidence. You like that?
No, you're very confident about Hawthorn beating Geelong the other week as well. So I'm just rolling with your tips and see what it comes up as.
Bulldogs v Essendon Friday night. There'll be a couple of changes to this one. Archie Perkins is out. Will Setterfield is out. Sam Durham is back. Sam Darcy was the rising star last week for the Western Bulldogs. Yeah. This will be an interesting game given Essendon were just terrible last week. They were poor. They're 2-2, would you believe, Essendon? Who have they beaten?
So they've beaten St Kilda in a real scrap, which you saw right at Call.
And that was the worst game I've seen all year.
Okay.
They were terrible. Like literally terrible.
Okay.
Yep.
And they beat Hawthorn by 4 goals
right,
in round one.
Right, so that's why they're 2-2.
Yeah, so... Yeah, look, the Bulldogs are one of the enigmas of the competition, but they've still got, when Bont and Liberatore are moving as they are and playing as they are, Essendon always more competitive at Marvel, but I just think the midfield of the Bulldogs are going to be too strong. And I'm not quite sure. We know they're not that good a side, Essendon, but yeah, I don't trust them at all.
Saw some footage of Aaron Norton during the week on the couch, and it was really interesting late in the game against the playoffs play.
Geelong
last week, he was in positions where he wasn't going to get used. It was Jonathan Brown running through it, and he was saying, look, as the main man, which Norton is, you need to be where the ball's going to be. And whether he's being coached to not be there, he was very high, he was up near the contest, he was 10 metres from the ball. It's like, what are you doing up there? Get 40 metres away, put yourself where the ball's going to be and make the ball go through you. And I agree. You know, if you're a backman, if I'm on Norton and he's standing 10 metres from the contest, I'm going, you beauty, have it. You want to kick up here? Go for your life.
I suppose, was it Jamari Ugal-Hagen that was their sort of go-to man?
Okay, so again, as a backman, if I'm standing there and I've got side-by-side Jamari Ugal-Hagen and Aaron Norton, I'm like, well, I don't know who to go to here. I don't know what to do. If it's just one of them, you know it's going there and it's all good. So they've got to structure up a bit better. In that same piece, Riley West has had more inside 50 targets than Aaron Norton this year, which is just crazy. Crazy for Aaron Norton. He's a superstar. So I expect Western Bulldogs to win this one and win it easily, even though Essendon will bounce back. I think this is a big game for Western Bulldogs. Who are you picking?
I concur with you.
GWS v St Kilda at Manuka. Is that in Canberra, is it?
Canberra, yeah. Manuka Oval's like where they played cricket. The Prominence is 11.
You know, I don't like cricket. GWS, Manuka.
Yeah.
Right. I'm sure they're stoked to be playing in Canberra.
Who, the Giants? Yeah. They like playing in Canberra.
Would they?
Yeah, I think that's it. They play some good footy there. It's not only a fast deck.
Okay. Well, the Giants are undefeated. They're the best team in the competition at the moment. Would you have anyone challenging? Geelong's undefeated.
Yeah, look, Giants are certainly on the podium,
So, Callum Ward, who was out with that shoulder, he returned to full contact training this week. They've certainly been the form comp Giants, and I think they're doing that off the back of their connection, their culture at the footy club. And they look like they want to play together. They look like they want to win. And it's coming up against a St Kilda side that needs to win. So they may come up against some fierce competition. I said this about St Kilda last week. They need to beat St Kilda. You stop their half-back run and then transition. And I don't think they have the quality to beat you if you do that. And I think GWS has a team that will have scouted that and they'll be able to stop that quite easily.
Yeah, look, I've been super impressed by the Giants from midway through last year and they haven't done anything this year to make you think that they look like a team that's on a really, really good journey. Jesse Hogan playing great footy in attack. We know Toby's right. Tom Green, we've talked about Isaac Heaney probably leading the Brownlow, but he's playing some...
He's a gun.
...pretty handy footy.
He's so strong and clean, isn't he?
As a mid, which I've never stood by him, but...
No, he's my size, which is ridiculous.
Just massive. It's extraordinary. So, St Kilda, Ross always finds a way, I think, to...
That's a good point.
...to keep things...
Tight.
It could be low... Could be very low scoring.
It'd be difficult to keep GWS low scoring.
It is, but they find a way sometimes, St Kilda, to really... Well, even last week against Richmond, it was...
How do you reckon they do that then? Like I'm asking myself the same question because I think you're probably right. I mean, Ross Lyon's not going to rock up going...
Oh, let's take him on. Because they just don't have the talent, do they?
They're not going to go head-to-head. So, you know, perhaps you slow it down. Perhaps with ball movement, instead of playing to their strength. This is always the risk when you try and beat a side. It's like, okay, how do we beat them? If we just go head-to-head with them, we can't do it. But if they slow ball movement down, which slows the game down, which allows you to defend, that's what slowing it down means when I say it. It just takes away from your strength. So, yeah, you take their strength away, but then you're not playing to your strength. And then if it doesn't work... That's plan A. What's plan B?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, they need to continue to find that pop off half back. Sinclair back in the side and does it really well. And Jack Steele, I think, he's so important to their midfield.
Yep, going well. GWS?
Picking the Giants.
Carlton v Adelaide at Marvel. Adelaide have just been probably the most disappointing team of the season. Them and Essendon, I would have thought. Sam Walsh apparently has been tearing up the track. Where do they train now? Are they still
It's old Princess Park. Yeah, maybe it's Icon Park. Park. Maybe
yeah, Icon
now.
Park. Look, he's been training very well, and we could see him back for the first game of 2024. Adelaide are winless at the moment. I don't see how they don't go 0-5 here. I don't see them being Carlton. I don't know how you do that after what we've seen at the start of the season.
Mm. No, I agree. But I also just think a little question mark about Carlton. I think they should have been beaten last week. I thought that was one Fremantle.
Yeah, definitely.
And Adelaide's a different beast. Marvel Stadium. If you're having a look at the possibilities, I think there's a 25-point head start for Adelaide here.
Yeah, right.
I just think Carlton, look, they might blow them away by 10 goals. But
is that all? The line's 25.
Yeah, you think it should be more?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Carlton will smash them here.
Okay, fair enough. Adelaide's due to play some good footy at some stage. And as
that's not a thing. They're no good.
Okay. No, well...
It's like saying West Coast are due to play good.
No, but Adelaide's shown last year they can kick a score. This year they haven't even troubled the scorers. It's been
remarkable. So what tells you that they're due for a good game?
Well, I just... I don't know. Sometimes you get a feeling that they might just turn up. And I think Carlton are just ticking along. I don't think they were brilliant against the Dockers. They were good.
Yep.
And they won the game. I don't know. I picked Carlton, but I think Adelaide... You know, even Malcolm Blight saying their chances of playing finals isn't gone.
Honestly, seriously.
He's a dual premiership coach.
I understand that.
Saying that Adelaide, you know,
there'll come a time where people, and probably already actually, Will Schofield, who cares what he says? So don't worry. I know it's coming.
Okay, fair enough. Anyway, I'm not suggesting that they're going to get blown. I think they can keep this tight, Adelaide, even though you don't rate what I
Carlton,
just said.
Carlton, in a blowout.
Absolutely. Well,
so
fair enough.
Do you pick Carlton?
Yeah, tip Carlton.
Okay. Gold Coast v Hawthorn, 5:30 Saturday at People's First Stadium. Gold Coast had three debutants last week. They've got a good young side coming through, but haven't seen the quality that I think people expected. I mean, I don't think they're going to play finals, Gold Coast, this year. Tell me if I'm wrong. But they are playing Hawthorn, who have been disappointing, I think.
Yeah, although their second half against Collingwood was really good.
Yeah, it was.
Hardwick went forward, kicked some goals. Yeah, I think they play with more dash and more flair against the Magpies after halftime. That was necessitated because they were, you know, they're trailing, and I think Sam Mitchell said tried to free them up a bit. So, you know, I think there's certainly some signs there. We saw some at times against Geelong. They're not a hopeless case by any means, Hawthorn.
Yes.
And look, Gold Coast, by making those changes last week or the week before after being belted by the Bulldogs, I think it's a good sign by Hardwick. So you mentioned... I think they're definitely improving. The Suns, what we saw against the Giants last week, they were beaten by 5 goals, but they kicked a score. I think they were at home. I think most times you'll tip them at home, unless they're playing, you know, one of the premiership contenders. But the Suns are a completely different side up there, and I think the Suns will get the job done there.
So do I. Speaking about, though, the Gold Coast Suns and People's First Stadium, I thought maybe it might be time for the code word for our good friends at Travel and Sports Australia for your chance to win 2 return airfares, 2 tickets to the game in round 7, West Coast v Gold Coast. You'll need this code word from Mark Reddings.
It is arguably my favourite place on the Gold. So quite simply, it's a place.
I already know what it is.
It's Burley.
I thought you were saying the Burley Pavilion.
I'm about to say Burley Pavilion, yeah. Let's go with Burley Pavilion because it's a good spot.
You only get one of them because it'll get too complicated.
Burley. Okay. Let's go with Burley, okay?
Have fun spelling that. If you spell it wrong, that's okay.
Yeah. Right. Do you want me to spell it for them?
No.
Okay.
You can if you like, actually.
B-U-R-L-E-Y. E-I-G-H, Burley. It's a beautiful spot.
Okay, perfect. And you can find Skeeter at the Pavilion in Burley, which is where the best cold beers are, Skeeter.
Yeah, you got the shelter there. And they've got a nice little hill, have fish and chips, watch the surfers, avoid the sharks. It's brilliant.
Who are we picking? Gold Coast?
Going Gold Coast, but yeah, Suns have to be wary of the Hawks. Hawks will get someone sometime in the near future.
Okay, I'll take Gold Coast too. That was for Travel and Sports Australia. The code word is Burley for your chance to go into the running for those two plane tickets and two tickets to the game. Geelong v North Melbourne at Geelong. I don't need to give this much, mate.
No.
Got to be honest. This could get real ugly. I've seen North Melbourne beaten by a lot down here. Geelong's in good form. Dangerfield back. Mate, no, he's not. He did his hammy.
I was going to say, yeah. He must be one more week away, is
well,
he?
Well, yeah, he hasn't had 3 weeks, so he'll still go, yeah.
This is all about what Geelong, what they come to.
And they're not going to lose. We don't need to preview this game.
No, but I'm saying, but in terms of margins, if they come with a ruthless nature, I don't think they will, by the way, because they've had the two big milestones. They've had the Tomahawk with 350, Blixarves last week with 250.
You're telling me North Melbourne's
going to win. No, I don't think they're going to come and it's up to them. If they want to come and make a statement, sometimes you rock up, you know you're going to win. You win by 6 or 7 as opposed to 16 goals.
Sydney against West Coast.
Yeah.
Will Schofield, Mark Rennings, Shelter Footy Cast. Some good emails today, Skeeter. Let's get into them. Hello, gents. Love the show. A lot of talk lately about Freo's game style and the low-scoring matches they are involved in. Do you think this was a deliberate tactic by JL to protect their back line and congest the game to avoid Josh Draper getting caught in one-on-ones? If it was, then I think JL deserves more credit for his coaching. So they were 14th and 15th in offense and defense last year, and that's why they were poor to watch. They weren't scoring and they couldn't defend. So they would have had to have worked on both sides of the game. The forward stuff they were doing, that's why Luke Jackson was trapped. They needed more attacking power. They have the midfield, right? And then the defensive element, look, I think they've got a good back line, but any good back line needs a pressure for midfield. You can't have free ball coming in. You can't have quick transition play. You can't have stuff coming through the middle of the ground. You need wide ball, predictable areas with pressure, because there's the only way you have a chance. Players are too good these days if they don't have pressure. So I think a lot of the stuff they're doing from a game style, to answer the question, is to do with their midfield. I think their midfield are defending better. I think they're forcing the opposition into slower play. I think it's wider, and I think it's giving their back line a chance to defend. Not really anything to do with Josh Draper. It's to have to do with any back line in the competition. That's my opinion.
Yeah, and look, I think their defence, that's always been their real strength, if you, in terms of being able to, when they're playing their best,
yes,
2 or 3 years ago, that's been a strength. There's a midfield, as you say, developing really well. Jeremy Sharp's a great addition. They still are a work in progress, I think, with their forward line. Even on the weekend, speaking to Mark Stone, he pointed out there were a couple of occasions where they had the ball in the centre of the ground, but fanned it wide instead of going to quick one-on-one. So that's something, I think it's obvious, given the scores they're kicking.
You know who you'd want to go to a one-on-one sitting at the top of the goal square?
Luke Jackson.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that'll help that. You look up and you see Luke Jackson waving his hand in the air.
Well, you've got him waving his hand in the air, or Jai Amos on a hard lead.
Correct.
That's probably the nice mix that the Dockers... but yeah, their defence, outstanding. Their midfield has got, matched it with Carlton's, which says something. And their forward line is still just some tinkering, I think, before they... you need to still kick a score. You can keep teams at 50 or 60 points, it's outstanding, but you still need to find a way forward to take the heat off your defence.
Great question, Liam. Thank you. G'day, fellas. Look, I know this is a long shot, but the big dogs are already talking about the 20th team in the 2034 area. So we're 10 years away still. Yeah, you don't need to get your hands out for that, Skeeter.
No, I'm just really going to have a whole little bit.
With WA being having the population to support a team, it's a question on that. Busselton, Margaret River might have a chance. 7 games in the Southwest and 9 or so at Optus Stadium. Shelter, the home of the Southwest Surfers. This is from Nildy. Love to hear your thoughts.
Well, who might argue on the Shelter Footy Cast that could be...
You told me it wasn't going to happen before we got on there.
Well, I don't think it's happening. Well, 2034, given that the Tasmanian team's coming in 28, is that right? The 19th. So we're going to go 6 years without another team.
Well, probably, yeah. I mean, when was the last team that came in?
Well, we've had the Giants.
Yeah, when did they come in?
Well, I don't know. Look, 2012. Yeah.
Right, so we've had 12 years before there's been another side. So 6 years would be a pretty short turnaround.
When were the Gold Coast Suns brought into the comp?
2 years before that, 11 or 10.
That's my point. So, but that was to make even up the competition. They had two clubs come in pretty quickly.
Right.
That's my point, to make sure it's not a 19-17 right. setup. So that's my question. If it's 2028 for Tassie, I'm not saying it won't be down south, but is it 2034? Is that too far down the track after Tassie come? Anyway, the venue, the spot, people will say, can we sustain that in WA? Do the Dockers need to win a flag before that happens? These are all questions that will be asked.
The southwest region, so Busso, Margaret River, that area, it has a bigger population than Geelong. I think Geelong's a perfect way to look at this. Yeah, does that? I think a lot of people think, well, would people from the city go down to Busso to watch a game? Right, let's say it's the Busselton. I think maybe not, but there's people down there that would. There's an airport in Busselton that could get fans coming across to go have a few wines and then go watch the footy. I think it's an absolute no-brainer that if there's a 20th team, there's no other place in the country better. Northern Territory can't do it, mate.
Why is that?
They don't have the population. Not people living there. They can't just chuck her in Darwin and hope for the best. You don't have enough people there. They need to put an indoor stadium, air conditioning. It will not happen. They're not going to put another one in Sydney. They're not going to put another one in Brisbane. They're not going to put another one in Melbourne. Not putting one in Canberra.
Well,
they're not putting another one in Tassie.
Well, South Australia's put their hand up with Norwood.
Of course they put their hand up for everything, South Australia.
Okay. I'm not a South Australian premier. I'm just saying they've got Norwood is their option.
They've got Gather Round, right? They've got Gather Round. They don't need another team. They've got Gather Round for the next 50 years. I think the 20th team in the competition, as Mark Duffield put on the agenda this week, I think it's got to be one in WA, two down south. And I think it could be in Busselton.
Yeah, I don't think it's happening. But anyway, okay,
thank you, Skater. Thank you for your support for this shelter.
I love
footy
it.
Cast.
I'm saying, so we've got to build a stadium now in Busselton as well. Is that right?
That's right. With the money we're saving on not paying you to be on this show, we're going to build a stadium down in Busselton.
Well, you and I'll be my walking stick, and I might be in a retirement home by then. But
I'll take you down there for a frothy, mate. Don't worry about it. I tell you what, a dart and a frothy. Scared to be sitting in the stands cheering on the Southwest Stingers.
And a
hello, Dr. Handsome here. This is another email. Is this you, Skaters?
Dr. Handsome, you fig jam.
Greetings from the croc-infested and not-so-friendly waters of Darwin.
Oh, there you go. You just potted the hell out of Northern Territory. Here we go.
Shout out to the Northern Territory. Come up and borrow my snorkel if you want. Lads, I think I'll get your gold medal prize this week as I am on team umpires. Let me know your thoughts. These goal reviews are getting out of control. Clear goals, points, even out on the fools are getting reviewed just so the goal umpire doesn't have to look like a goose in front of the players and the public. They are umpiring in fear of humiliation and have no clear motivation. Why would they subject themselves to a hard time even though they are 99% sure about their decision? Solution, I think. Why doesn't the AFL/public incentivize umpires with a carrot when it comes to how many times they use the reviews? If less than five times per game, they get a bonus. We could even have an umpire decision of the week award or per game without using technology. We're all very quick to slam the umps, but when they make a bad call. But when you've got 36 bodies on 360-degree field at one time, fast-paced, high emotions over 80-minute period, there's a lot of decisions to consider. We need something to incentivize the reward the umps to back themselves to get the credit they deserve. Just a thought. Gosh, it's hot up here. Now, who's ready for a crocodile swim? Sincerely, Dr. Handsome.
Yeah, Dr. Handsome. I won't be jumping in any creek with you up there anytime soon.
So to summarise, he wants a way to incentivise umpires to make the right call, and that would be by using less reviews.
Well, I can just add to this because
the umpire
this week,
of the week,
the AFL umpiring fraternity has gone to headquarters. Because there's a lot of criticism, and I've been very critical of
yes.
you know, the number of reviews that are being used weekly, and the umpires are saying that they have been under instruction to use the review more regularly, but that hasn't been made public or certainly communicated by the AFL. So they are being told to use the review probably any time there's any shadow of doubt, and sometimes we're seeing the ball cross the line by a metre and
yes.
they're still using it. Some smart Alex have said it's because the AFL wants to get the crypto sponsorship up on the big screen
so, right.
as part of their sponsorship.
Wow.
I'm not sure if that's the case, but I look, They do a very good job, the goal umpires, but it feels, just looking at it, that they've lost their confidence or their nerve to some extent in backing their own decision. Given every time, say, a goal is kicked or not kicked, if it's awarded a goal, you get 30 seconds to go and check.
It's even more. It's more than 30.
Yeah, to go and check that result. So I'm not sure about incentivising umpires to make less reviews.
I think that would be brilliant, though. Imagine doing a segment on here, umpire's decision of the week, and, you know, some great call. Like we do spoils of the week. We do goals of the week, master of the week. Let's get around the umps.
Got Harley Reid almost breaking a record for the most broken tackles with 7 last week. So all sorts of stats around.
Very good. Hey, Skeet, that's us done and dusted, mate. I've got to get off to another job. And
of course you do.
You probably do as
another
well.
Another invoice.
Shelter Footycast on socials. Make sure you're following us. Tickets to the Gold Coast game. Code word. Not going to tell you again. You should have been listening. And we've got the Derby preview. Backchat Owl launch. Matt Pavlich, Josh Kennedy. Tickets in bio, Skeeter. I'll see you there. Have a good weekend.
Can't wait. Look forward to seeing you at the footy.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.